Morning, Warden. How are we doing today? Praise God. Oh, man, I don't know. I love the summer, and I told somebody this week I'm not going to complain about the heat because I remember how much snow I had to shovel. But I'm fluffy, and this is tough. You know what I mean? Like all this heat. And I know our friend that's with us today, Julius, it's probably a lot hotter in Tanzania than it is here even. I'm not sure what the time of year, and I don't know about all the weather patterns over there, but I'm sure he's used to the heat. But if you haven't guessed by now, I'm so pleased to have Julius Kenyamanyar and his three boys, Ezra, Gabriel, and Josiah, here with us, and his whole family. All people I love very much and been in my life a long time, and I appreciate them so much. And so Julius works and runs Village of Hope in Mwanza, Tanzania, and pastors Petra City Church and a lot of great things that they're doing over there, and has a big building that they're building, and we're excited to hear how they're doing with all these things. And so without further ado, I'm going to invite Julius to come, and he's going to share with us a bit of his ministry and from the Word this morning. Amen. Why don't you welcome him as he comes.
Good morning. What a good family.
Morning.
The weather this week has been amazing. what a great joy to be here this morning. It's been almost, actually more than 5 years since the last time I was here. But walking in this morning, just felt like just walking back right at home and seeing all the familiar faces. It just feels that I am just where I belong, at home. There's no family like the church family. There's no family that being part of God's family. That you can go anywhere around the world, and when you meet people from the family of God, it just feels right at home. And that's what I feel this morning, to be here.
Thank you so much, Pastor Peter and Carrie-Anne, for making this possible. I am so thrilled to be here, and it's such a privilege to have this opportunity to share God's word this morning. And I want to bring you a very warm greeting from Villages of Hope, Tanzania, and Petra City Church. Your friends and family over there, they send their greetings. And as usual, when they send greetings, I make sure that I deliver that, because it would be an offense not to deliver greetings. We thank God for the amazing connection that we have with this church. You guys have been part of our story since we moved back to Tanzania. We went to Tanzania. Warden has been part of our story. And everything that we are doing there continues to be part of your story, because you pray for us, you give, you connect. A few people have come actually to visit and serve. So you are working with us, and we are doing this together. And it's a privilege to be here this morning with my three boys. Ezra, who is now 14. I think the last time we were here, he was like 8. And now he's taller than me. He looks down on me. And we have Gabriel, who is 11. And Josiah, who is 6. But actually, it's not 6. He says he's almost 7. Because he'll be almost 7 next month. And it's good to be with my extended family here, the Davidson's family. I always walk around with a crowd, so it's good to have them being here with us. This morning, I have titled the message for today, The Unfailing Hope in Christ. But before we dive in, let's just go ahead and pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. We are so grateful that we belong to you, that we are called by your name. That God, you love us so much with unconditional love, that there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we cannot do for you to love us more or less. That you love us so much, and you care for every one of us. Lord, as we are seated here this morning under your feet, we pray that you feed us, that you will encourage us, that you will nourish us. That, Lord, you draw us near to you, that we'll be able to hear your voice, we'll be able to hear your wisdom, your knowledge. God, may you impart to us the spirit that brings us closer to you. We bless you, Lord, that we are your children, and we have that confidence to come to you as we are. May you speak to us this morning in a way that you only speak, in a way that we can understand. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. So you can say I'm a little bit excited. Am I the only one who is excited? If you're excited, can you just give God a big praise this morning? Anybody who is excited? Yes, yes. Before we dive into the word this morning, I just want to share a few things about what God has been doing in our lives and in the ministry of Villages of Hope and Petra City Church. A lot of things have changed since the last time I was here. But one thing that has remained the same is God's faithfulness. God has remained to be good. He has remained to be faithful. For many of you who don't know me, my name is Julius Kenyamanyara. I was born in a little village, beautiful village called Nyachururu. You should remember that because there might be a test at the end. It is quite remote. It is a place where it is a village. I was recently in a place in Switzerland, and they took me to a village. And I was so disappointed because it was not a village. A village, let me tell you a little bit about a village for those of you who've never been in a village. A village, they fire, cook on the fire. You have to fetch water in the river. You have to boil water if you want to have a warm shower. Not a warm shower, a warm bath, something like that. And that's where I was brought up. While I loved everything about where I was born, life was a little bit difficult. I wondered why God chose that to be the place for me to be born. Life was so difficult just by the virtue of surviving. By the time I was 12, I had lost every hope. I wondered why I was existing, why I was alive. I asked God so many questions. It's like, God, is this all that life has to offer? And it's so bad to lose hope when you are that young. And I realized that if there's anything that the devil wants to steal and kill and destroy from our lives, is the hope. And he wants to do it as early as possible so that you grow up hopeless. And I felt so hopeless. In a community like that, abuse is rampant. Shortage of every, even basic needs is quite a normal thing. And I did not feel good. I asked God so many questions. But thank God, when I was 14 years old, when everything seemed so dark and I felt that everybody in my life was losing hope in me, was feeling like there's no much left for me to offer, some kids from our primary school in my classroom, in my class, grade 8 class, shared the gospel to me. They told me that there is a God who loves me. They told me that there is a hope that we can have that is beyond what this world can offer. And I gave my life to Christ. And while circumstances didn't change, my perspective for life changed. I realized that I have a God who has plans for me, a God who has a future for me, a God who has plans not to destroy me or harm me, but to give me a hope and a future. And that reminds me that we should not underestimate anyone because of age. It was not a big evangelist that brought that message to me. It was just some kids from my school. We have something in us, regardless of age, whether you are old or young, God can use you to change. While you might not change the whole world, but you can change someone's whole world. And we should go out there knowing that in us, when we have the hope that we carry something much better than anything that we can ever have. So when these kids shared the gospel to me, I started reading the word of God. I started reading the Bible. And the more I read the Bible, I realized that my hope continued to increase. God started speaking to me and showing me that there was more than my little village. Because as I was growing up in this little village, I felt that my world was so limited. I actually didn't know. I thought that was what the whole world was. And that's why I was a little bit shocked when I read the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, that tells us to go into all nations and make disciples. And I thought that this is some of the scripture that was written for other people. Because I'm like, from this little village where we don't even have road networks, I don't even know what is in the other neighboring village. How am I going to go into the whole world? I, 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 We never owned a bicycle. We never all owned anything that we can travel with. As a matter of fact, I didn't even wear shoes. I never wore shoes until I was like 19 years old. How could I go into the whole world? I was like, that sounds like a very good idea, God, but these people who need to go into the rest of the world, they should do that because they should go make disciples. And then things changed. God started expanding my territory a little bit. And many, many years later, 16 years ago, I had moved to Canada, settled in Northern Ontario, had a family, and life was good. And I must acknowledge that enjoying the convenience of Canada and the Western world was so good. And I felt that this is what hope looks like. But as I was about to settle, we felt, my wife and I felt that we should not settle yet. Let's see, there's more to be done out there. There's more to go to. And we signed up to go to a mission engagement for 1 year in Tanzania. And that 1 year has turned to 13 years today. And we continue to work on that 1 year. Hopefully it will be finished at some point. But I could not change anything. That 13 years in Tanzania, working with a church in Dar es Salaam, and the last 11 years working at Villages of Hope, has been the best adventure of my life. As I've seen God not only do miracles, I've seen God draw us near to Him in a way that I could have not imagined or asked for. Sometimes we plan, but I've come to realize that God's plans are the best. We do think that if things go according to a plan, our life will be more hopeful, will be much better. But when we allow God's plans to prevail, life turns way better than we could have ever imagined. And that's why I stand here today, to share God's faithfulness, to say that His love is unfailing, to say that the hope we have in Him is something worthy continuing to hold on. Before I continue, let me just show you a little bit, a video about Villages of Hope and what God has been doing there, and then we can proceed. So many children in our world today are still facing a lot of hardships. Right here in Tanzania, way too many children are facing starvation, sicknesses, and even abandonment. There are so many children that have no safe place to call home. These harsh realities, not only do they threaten to steal these children's hopes, they threaten to completely steal their future. At Villages of Hope, we want to change this story. My name is Julius Kenyamanyara, and I bring you greetings from Village of Hope, Tanzania.
At the Village of Hope, we believe in nurturing every child's God-given potential. Through quality education, we are able to empower our children to learn, to grow, and to truly dream big.
At Village of Hope, we ensure that all of our children are well-fed and healthy. That is one of the key areas that we focus on. And we want to ensure that all of our children are doing well in all of the areas of their lives.
As a member of Village of Hope, I've been here and I've seen children coming here empty-handed. But when they live here as graduates, they come out with potential of becoming good citizens, and what they have got here can be used to the community which they'll be going to mingle with.
Most importantly, they get to learn about God, God's love for them, which helps them understand their value. We also develop character that helps them be able to face life successfully. They also get to learn to love their neighbors themselves.
Village of Hope is more than an organization. It is a home. It is a family.
And I want to invite you to join us in this great story that God is writing. Together, we can bring lasting hope. Thank you. May God bless you.
Amen. Friends, that is God. God is love in action. That's God is hope in action. And thank you so much for being part of that. There's no way we could do that without all your support, all your prayers, all your good, and every support that you guys bring to us. When Jed and I first went to Villages of Hope in 2014, we were serving about 100 children. And now looking back at the incredible work that God is doing, the multiplication, today we are serving over 1,300 children. That is by God's grace. That means 1,300 children receiving quality education every day, receiving nutritious meals, many of them having no place to call home and having a safe place that they can call home. And above all, 1,300 children being exposed to the love of God. We believe that quality education is very, very important. As we bring these children into our schools, we believe that in order to break the cycle of poverty and despair that we see every day, these children need to be empowered. They need to be equipped and given the right knowledge and opportunities so that they can experience their full potential. We provide them with the healthcare because we believe that every child deserves a healthy and thriving life. Some of these kids have no place to call home. They've been abandoned, and or maybe their parents have been taken away and they end up in the streets. So being able to bring them to Villages of Hope and give them a home, give them a safe and secure environment where they just be children, it is important. And nutrition is key. Some of the children that we bring into our programs, they are malnourished. So ensuring that they get nutritious meals every day, we are enabling them to be physically fit, to thrive, to play, and most importantly, to be able to learn. One of the things that we have seen through our nutrition program is that even our education has gone up, because when you are feeding a child that has a full stomach, they are able to listen. They are able to focus and concentrate. And that despair, usually that it comes out of hunger, gets expelled. Our discipleship program is probably one of our biggest and best things that we are so proud about. As we see these children having and developing a personal relationship with Jesus. For we know that any hope that food or shelter can bring is not enough. The hope that really holds, the hope that brings lasting impact, is the hope that is founded in Christ alone. And we have been so privileged to be a part of these children's lives, to see them walk with Christ. Because there are so many things we do not have for them. There are so many answers that they are seeking about their lives that we are not able to provide. But when we connect them to God, they can talk to God about that. All of us know that we all face some things that we don't have answers for. And the only source that we can question and will have every answer and that is not intimidated by our question is God. And when we allow these children to talk to God as their father, when they know that God loves them more than we can ever love them, that's the best thing that we can do. And that is what gives us the hope to continue doing what we do. It's what gives us the energy to continue doing what we do. When we see people like Paul and Teresia recently took a bus. The next slide. Took a bus for 19 hours to come to Villages of Hope because we had an event there. You see, Paul grew up at Villages of Hope. and he had a rough upbringing. He was abandoned at 6 months, and by the time he was finishing high school, he still didn't know where he came from. He didn't know what happened to his life. We could not trace anything about his family. It was only when he was 18 that we came to realize that he had been born out of wedlock, and the mom decided to just abandon him. But Paul came back to Villages of Hope just to tell the other kids that there is hope. And he said, I just came all this way to tell you that there is a God who loves you more than anyone else. And he said, if there's anything I've learned through all my life of hopelessness and despair, is that when you meet and make Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then that is the kind of hope that you can ever get from Villages of Hope. That is what fuels us to continue doing what we do. As Paul was encouraging the other children to continue holding on to the hope that we have in Christ, I remembered how Paul was, when he was growing up, especially when he was a teenager, he went through a rough period because he was trying to find himself. But he says the moment he realized that even in those rough periods of his life, that there was a God who was not giving up on him, and there were people that God had put in his life that did not give up on him, that has made him to be the man that he is today. Paul is now married. He's working as a pharmacist, and he's living a life that he's thriving. Only God can do that. That is the unfailing hope that we have in Christ that I want to share this morning. The hope that goes beyond every obstacle that we can ever meet. In Romans chapter 5, we find Paul telling us how we develop this hope, how we find this hope. And he says that in verse 3 to 6, he says, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God is love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. When we read the book of Romans, this letter to the Romans, we see Paul teaching us different things. And one of the main things that he teaches us is about justification by faith and faith alone. But in chapter 5, he changes gears and teaches us that there is an implication for that justification, that we don't just get justified and that's the end. He tells us that because we have been justified, we now have peace with God. That the effect of that justification is the peace. Things have been made right, and any form of anxiety that was there because we were not okay with God has gone, and now we have peace with God. That's what he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And he says, not only do we have peace, but we have access to his grace. And as if that is not enough, he says that we not only have peace and great access to grace, but we also have the hope of glory. And this is the hope that holds through this storm that he's talking about. Because we see now, after saying that we have peace, we have access to grace, and we have the hope of glory, in verse 3 it says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. That's changing the topic a little bit. It should have continued. You know, peace, grace, yes. But suffering, you should leave that out, Paul. You were doing so well until here. That sounds completely counterintuitive to our human experience. But Paul believes that for us believers, the difficulties of life are not random, meaningless, or wasted experience. He believes that these are opportunities that God uses to enable us to develop that unshakable hope in Christ. He continues to lay out a very powerful and transformative chain reaction. He says that suffering produces perseverance. That's not what the world teaches us. The world sometimes is teaching us that any form of suffering brings despair, it brings resentment and bitterness. But Paul is saying that suffering produces perseverance. The word perseverance in Greek, apomene, has this connotation of an enduring hope. We're saying it's not that kind of endurance that you go, the last couple of weeks we've been going to the dentist quite a bit, and it's not fun. You need to have a little bit of perseverance, especially if you're a kid. But that's not the kind of that teeth gritting kind of perseverance where you're like, oh, I will endure it. The kind of endurance, the kind of perseverance that Paul is talking about here is that active, persistent, and that endures any form of pressure. And do you know why you are able to do that? Because you are being helped by God. It's not something you do by yourself. It's not something you do by willpower. It's something you do by the enablement of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what makes hope different than positive thinking. Because we have an anchor. We have a place where it is based on. This is the ability that we develop to endure trials without giving up or giving in. If we do not allow God to help us through this, then we might end up into bitterness. That's when we start saying, why? Why are you doing this to me? Or we feel so entitled and we think that because we are believers, we are not supposed to go through any kind of challenges. But Paul says this, after suffering as produces this perseverance, that perseverance produces character. Paul believes that when we persevere by the help of God, by leaning more towards God's help, we develop character. And the word character means being approved as a result of being tested. It's not like, oh yeah, you have a good character. It means like, yes, what you have has been tested and the result is this character. And that character produces hope. And this is the climax. This proven character with suffering and perseverance provides a very solid foundation for the hope that we have. That is the unfailing hope that we have in Christ. The word hope by itself, it means that confident expectation that we have in our God that died for us, in our God that gave us the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our help. That is the confident expectation that we have. And because it is brought by the Holy Spirit, then it gives us some divine certainty. Certainty that goes beyond our thinking and understanding. And that's why, as believers, sometimes when we go through all this, people cannot understand what's going on in our lives. That we can be going through so much and still afford to believe in this God. When people say, if you really believe in this God, why are you going through what you are going through? I don't believe in God because of circumstances. I believe in him because he's true to his character. He's faithful. He's loving. And he is who he says he is. And the hope that we have in Christ is sustained by love. That's what Paul says. He says that because that hope in us has been stirred by the Holy Spirit, it gives us the assurance of God's promises. In verse 5, he says, and this hope does not put us to shame Because God is love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The hope we have, friends, does not put us to shame. The hope in Christ does not put us to shame. What that also might mean is any hope that is outside Christ will eventually put us to shame. Hope that is based on relationships, hope that is based on material things, hope that is based on things of this world will put us to shame. But the hope that is based on Christ will not put us to shame. This is a hope that is compelled by Christ, and Christ is love. This reminds me of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, which has become like my lifeline this year. That has been my verse of my scripture of the year. It says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord is great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." I have this in my postcard, and I have a few postcards out there with a few prayer items. If you want to grab one, please do so. But this reminds us that God is love never fails. Does not mean that circumstances don't get tough. Does not mean that we will face everything that every human being faces. But it means that God is true to his promises. He laid his life down for us. He can do anything to keep us safe. He will do everything to keep us close to himself. Number three, this hope is secured by Christ's sacrifice. Paul grounds this hope even further in verse 6, where he said, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Christ died for us, not because we invited him to do that. It's not because we begged him. Not because we became so good that he said, "Now I can die for you." When we were still powerless, when we had nothing to bring to the table, he died for us. And the cross becomes the ultimate, irrefutable proof of God's love for all of us. And this becomes the foundation of the unshakable hope that we have in Christ. And for us, and the work that we are doing with Villages of Hope and Petra City Church, we want to make sure that we are presenting this hope, not the hope that comes because we can provide a few material things, but because we can connect everyone to the one who brings this hope. Because we know that those children who come from all these backgrounds, where the enemy is trying to steal their hopes, even if we come with any promise that we can bring, we can bring food and clothes, which are very good, and we need to do that. But until they find the true source of hope, which is in Christ, then they are on shaky grounds. The unshakable hope is found in Christ himself. As the writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, he says that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtains. The hope that we profess, the hope that we ought to carry as believers, is the hope that is rooted in Christ's victory over death and his promise to return. This hope becomes an anchor. It becomes the place where, when everything else is shaking, we are grounded. For those of you who are boats, you know the importance of having an anchor. And if you put your anchor so well and it goes down to the rocks, you know that when the storm comes, your boat is going to be safe. Now, if you anchor yours and you see somebody tying their boat into some seaweed, you'll be like, "This person is in for a rude awakening." And I'm sure we've seen people put their hope in things that we know that they are not going to hold them when tragedy hits. When the storms of life come, and we know that there are going to be storms, the reason why we have this hope as an anchor It's because the reason why you put an anchor on your board is because you know that waves are going to come. You know that times are going to be rocky, right? We have this because there is going to be some rocky times, some turbulent times in our lives. No wonder Jesus told us, and he told us point blank in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This should remind us that when we face trials or any form of suffering, it's not a sign that God is absent. It is usually an opportunity to encounter God even more deeply. It is a time that when instead of running away from God, we should run more towards him. I've learned that true hope is not the absence of storms, but the presence of an anchor in the middle, in the midst of that storm. It is the presence of God when you really need a help. I don't know what kind of storm you might be going through this morning. Sometimes we think that maybe people from the other part where we come from, where we see hunger and we see war and we see all these things, they might be more hopeless than people in the West. But I've come to realize that where they're human beings, the enemy tries to bring hopelessness. Hopelessness through illness. Where you are, God, I've been so ill for all this long. Where are you? My family is so dysfunctional. Where are you? My job is not going well. Our church is not doing well. Where are you? And that is the enemy trying to bring circumstances or trying to twist your hope from Christ to circumstances. But remember the words of Christ. In this world, you are going to have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world. If we can come back and put our hope in Christ, regardless of the storm, and some storms are hard, sometimes it's easier to say than to doing it. For me, I feel like the last 5 years I've been like swimming through a storm. As many of you might know, 5 years ago, I lost my dear wife and friend and ministry partner quite suddenly. And things were going so well. We had just planted a church four weeks before that. And all of a sudden, she was gone. And I was left to raise the boys alone, do ministry alone. So we were, Village of Hope was doing so well, and now we have a new responsibility of a church. And I was confused. I had so many questions to God. I still do. Because we were doing so well, and I feel like we had given everything to God. And then this comes. I must say that I was confused. For many, many nights and days, I didn't have words to even talk to God. I didn't know how to approach him. But even in the midst of that, God found a way of talking to me. You know, if there's one thing I've realized is it's not so much how much I push myself to God that makes him love me. That even in the midst of that confusion, where I even questioned his godliness, he still loved me and he was there with me through that storm. So for us to be here today and testify of God's faithfulness, and say that this far, indeed, God has been our God and our rock is only because of the hope that is being stirred in us by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the mission still continues even after the storm. You know, sometimes we feel that once we've gone through the storm, that's the end of our road. But even after the storm, still we have to continue pushing. We still have to continue trusting God, because he said that he will be with us until the end. He did not tell us to go and stop when the storm hits. He said, I will be with you until the end. So maybe in your storm today, you might have some questions that you need to ask God. You might need to ask, like, God, which character are you building in me through this storm? How are you using this to build and strengthen hope in you? And how do you want me to respond to this? And this morning, even though like the last couple of weeks I've been traveling around, and the reason why we come to Canada once in a while is mostly to do fundraising for the work that we are doing there. But I've just been feeling in my heart that instead of fundraising, why don't we do a little bit of more hope raising? Because I know that if we can be people of hope, all these other things can fall in place. People who are full of hope and who have their hope anchored in Christ, resources are going to be a secondary thing, and they will use them appropriately. So my prayer this morning that all of us will have our jars of hope filled, that our hearts will be filled with hope, the hope that is anchored in Christ, in Christ's promises. As I invite the worship team to come up, I want to declare, for me, I say for me and the boys, we say that like Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, they said that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray that will be your declaration this morning, that no matter what, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We still need to spread hope. And friends, if we truly grasp this hope that we have in Christ, the unshakable hope that we have in Christ, this is not just something to keep as a souvenir. It's not something we get and say, oh, look, I have hope. I got it from somewhere and I put it here. It is a gift we are given to spread. It's a gift that we are given to give other people. We are carrying a very powerful gift that needs to be shared with everyone else. And people with hope have to go. And when they go, they need to start going so boldly, because you have been given a gift from God Himself, and He wants you to share. He wants you to love people and love them the way He loved us so much when we were powerless. And He wants us to spread that hope to every nation, to every tribe, because everybody belongs to God, including the people that sometimes we think that they're unlovable. If God could love us when we were powerless and unloving to Him, we can love that neighbor that has been a little bit different with us. We can love those people that look so different than us and do things differently. So this morning, I want to encourage us to grasp and hold on to that hope that we have in Christ. And not only just grasp it, but hold it and go with it. And I know that many of you might not even go across the boundaries. You might not go, you might not come to Africa. But maybe some of us, we just need to cross the road and bring this hope to the neighbor that we've never talked to for so long. We might realize that it's just a person somewhere, even in this church, that you just need to go so boldly and declare the hope of Christ to them. And let's be people that are filled with the love of God, that everything we do, everything we speak, may it be full of God's love as we spread God's hope. May God bless you so much.